So adults, we're going to take just a few moments to backtrack and think about what we've just heard through the account of Jesus' death from Mark's Gospel that Charmaine read out to us, and through the summary of the whole Bible, that very condensed version we just heard a moment ago from Kirsty, and to see where Jesus' death fits into the story of the whole Bible, and consider what his death was all about. What it means for us, and where this curtain fits into it, what that means as well. Firstly, I want you to think about how you felt when you came into the church foyer and you saw this curtain in front of you and you couldn't see past it. Just want you to think about how you felt for a moment, and I'll invite anyone to yell out a response, not a kind of huge, lengthy response, but just a word or two, if you've got a word that describes how you felt as you came into the foyer and saw that curtain in front of you. Anyone? Jared? Sorry? I thought the doors had fallen off. Fair enough. It's possible. Yep. Lissy? Must be Good Friday. Oh, there you go. You had an insight. There you go. Someone else? Kirsty? Yeah, that's right. What's on the other side? Yeah. Okay. Sally? Oh, cut off. Yeah, yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yep. Did you almost feel like it was, you can't come in now? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Sue Ellen? Sanctuary was blocked off, yeah. Okay. You saw stars, yes. Yeah, I stole those from our house. Kate didn't know that I'd use them. There you go. All right. So next question again for your response is how you then felt as you came through to the other side of the curtain. How did you feel once you came through? Jared? Oh, thank goodness the doors haven't fallen off. Yes. We're very grateful for that too. Anyone else? Relief. Yep. Lissy? Oh, rend them in half. Oh. Yep. Okay. Well, curtains, as we've already heard in some way, curtains are about separating or keeping something out. They provide a barrier between two things. So in a home, where curtains are most often seen, they're typically about keeping light out, particularly in summer, or keeping people from looking in to a house. That's the typical use of curtains in a home. So they separate one thing from another. They create a barrier between the outside world and the inside world in a number of ways. And so what we see in the Bible is that sin creates this curtain, this barrier between us and God. For those of you that may not be quite sure what sin is, the kids' story said it pretty well, I think. It's about deciding not to do what God says, or deciding to reject God as the ruler of the world and your life. It's the basic definition of sin. So it's not so much about the little things that we do wrong. They're really just an outworking of sin and of our rejection of God. And the Bible tells us that we are all sinners, and that includes me. I'm a sinner. We all, to a more or less extent, reject God and live lives without reference to him, or acknowledge him as the ruler of our lives. And as we heard in that kid's story, that has consequences. Sin has no place in the presence of God. So we all cast out from God's presence, and that the curtain is erected between us and God. We are shut out from God and from everything that is wonderful. Now, some of you may say that it's not too bad, actually, living in separation from God with a barrier between him and us. Yeah, there's some tough times, there's some sad times, but life is okay as it is. Is that what you think? I'm okay with this separation from God thing, if that's the way it is. Life is not actually that bad. I've been going up to Mount Buller to ski since I was a young child. And I remember many times waking up in the morning, just playing around in the ski lodge, being content with that, until someone alerts me to the fact that outside, out of the lodge, there has been this huge dump of snow overnight. And so I race over to a curtain and I open it to see for myself. And suddenly this whole new world has been opened up to me that I had no idea about or interest in until someone told me, and I pulled back the curtain to see what was on the other side. I think that's what it can be like sometimes with God, with us and God. We can live somewhat content lives because we can't possibly imagine what it's like to have the curtain pulled open and access, full access to God given. We can't begin to imagine what that would be like. But the Bible does tell us what it's like to be with God and how much better it is than without Him. And I'll talk a bit more about that in a little while. But as we heard in the kid's story, thousands of years after God put the first humans out of his garden, out of his presence because of sin, with a kind of keep out sign at the entrance of the garden, that God got the people to build a special building called a temple where he would live. Not literally, because he's everywhere, but symbolically, that's where God was going to live. But God got them to put up a big curtain between that place where God symbolically dwelled and everywhere else in the temple to remind the people that it is wonderful to live with him, but because of your sin, you can't come in. And this was the case for 1,000 years until Jesus came along. And we heard in both the kid's story and the reading from Mark's gospel that when Jesus died on the cross, this huge curtain in the temple was torn in two from the top down to the bottom, which signified that God was the one who did the tearing from on high. He was the one that opened the way for people to be with him again. Sin had kept us out from God's presence, but Jesus had taken the punishment for our sin upon himself on the cross. God's own dear Son had paid the price of our sin by his death. He died so that we might have access to God once again. Now, Jesus' death is not the end of the Bible's story. So we heard in the kid's story about Jesus coming back to life again on the third day. It's what we'll celebrate on Easter Sunday. But we're not there yet. We're going to just stop at Jesus' death today and think more on the resurrection on Sunday. And I want to finish today by sharing with you some little snippets from the Bible about what it means to be in the presence of God both now and in the future. Now that access to God has been restored through Jesus' death. Why it is so wonderful and why Jesus went to such great lengths to make it happen for us. So firstly, here's one from in the Bible from a book called Hebrews, written a little while after Jesus' death and resurrection. Now the writer says there, in chapter 10, verses 19 to 20, he says, "Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body." Just those two verses, there's a lot in there, including a mention of the curtain that we've been talking about. But here is just one thing it says to us about the goodness of being in God's presence. The writer speaks about having confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. which means that through Jesus we have confidence to come before God. Through Jesus we have confidence to come before God. And that means now. It's not something in the future, it means now. In this lifetime, in this very moment, we have free and immediate access to God. The God who powerfully created everything with a word. The God who loves us so dearly that he sent his son Jesus to die in our place. The God who delights to listen to his people. Average people like you and I could never hope to come into the presence of the Queen or even the Prime Minister, but we can now and any time come into the presence of the one who is far greater than the Queen or Prime Minister, God himself. What a wonderful benefit of having access to God through Jesus. Confidence to come any time to him. Another benefit we have through Christ's death, opening the way into the presence of God, is security. And many people know the experience of rejection and insecurity in relationships of all sorts, but not so with God. We are assured that once we are in God's presence, we are fully secure in his love forever. This is how the writer of Romans, chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, this is how he puts it. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's telling us that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from God's love and his presence. We are secure for all of eternity. Confidence to come to the powerful and loving God anytime. Security in his love for us forever. And lastly, for today, freedom from pain, suffering, and death. The writer of the last book of the Bible is given a vision of the future. And he says the time will come when we will experience the fullness of the presence of God, when we will actually see him face to face. And he says these beautiful words in the second last chapter of the whole Bible, Revelation 21, verses 3 to 4. He says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. What a picture. What a benefit that has been won for us through the death of Jesus on the cross for us. And these are just a couple of little snippets of what the Bible has to say about what comes through Jesus' death, which caused God to tear the curtain open and give us access to himself and his presence. And in just 2 days on Easter Sunday, we'll look at some more. But I need to finish by being clear that while Jesus died for everyone, every single person that has ever lived and ever will live, and that God's presence is a gift available to everyone, this gift must be received by us. We have to take hold of the gift that has been given to us. And in Jesus' own words at the start of Mark's gospel, the way we receive this gift is to repent and believe. Repent and believe. Which in reverse order means believing in Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. And saying sorry to God for rejecting him and seeking with his help to live with him as the loving ruler of our lives. That's all we have to do to receive God's great gift of himself and his presence forever. Repent and believe. Let's pray.